welcome you in this Friday afternoon to our show and a place where you can find hope and encouragement through stories of how Jesus has worked in lives. And this afternoon, we have an amazing guest. I'm going to call you an amazing guest.
Wow.
Do you like
that? I've been on a lot of shows, but nobody's ever said, of course, that was after the show. You may change that. Nobody's ever said I've been amazing.
Okay.
So awesome, maybe, but not amazing.
Awesome. He's awesome, too. Okay, so this afternoon, and we have Rachel, as well known as Roz, our producer.
Hello, Knoxville.
Hello, darling. How are you this afternoon?
And we have your husband.
And we have my husband. He's sitting in because y'all are buds.
He's so over here directing traffic. He's reading the Wall Street Journal to me. He just told me what to do if I have an extra $2.
Okay.
Where to put
good.
It.
That's good. And this voice that you are hearing is a person who's led an extraordinary life. This is Coach Jerry Glanville, and he has got quite a list of things he's done. You have been the head coach for the Houston Oilers and the Atlanta Falcons, which my brothers loved and told me to tell you that. And you have been a NASCAR auto racer, which you've had a flamey career in that, huh?
Really?
We've got to talk about that. He's been on national television for 15 years as a commentator. He has his own radio show. He sang with country music artists, including Bonnie Raitt, Willie Nelson. Wow.
And Bonnie Raitt, I have to tell your listeners, we were singing. She was warming up before the show at Chastain Park in Atlanta. And a lot of people you hear in live, they have great sound men. They do a great job. We were not without any sound. She had perfect pitch. So I changed her name to Perfect Pitch Bonnie.
Aww.
And she doesn't need a sound engineer. She's a remarkable lady.
She is. I was telling Larry when I was talking about that you had sang with Bonnie Raitt, and I remembered her years ago when I was in New Orleans at a jazz fest, and nobody really did know who Bonnie Raitt was at that time, but I had a fantastic album and had been listening to her because I'd read something about her, and it was just great. So Willie Nelson, you sang with Willie, too. So
we did a record. We did a record for a charity here in Tennessee that if somebody loses their child and doesn't have the money or the expense to complete the burial and everything, that all the money, a guy named Danny Shirley, who sang with Confederate Railroad, put it together and put this whole charity together. And every time we sell a record, the record's played, all that money goes to children which have been had a misfortune of passing away in the state of Tennessee, and we help with expenses.
Wow, what a blessing. Okay, so how long have you been in Tennessee?
Just a little over 3 years, because I moved here. My son asked me to come here, and it was funny. He called and said, Dad, I need you to move to Knoxville. And I said, you've been a great son. You have never caused a problem. And he's never asked me for a dollar, won't accept any money. And I said, whatever the problem is, I'll come, but then I'm going home. I'm not staying in Knoxville. And he said, give the phone to Mom. And I handed the phone to Mom, and Mom hung up and started packing. So I didn't even get to vote. And my son was having a baby. They did not know at that time it was going to be a son. And he asked us, and I said, well, what am I going to do up there with a baby? And he said, maybe you can put a little bit into him, which you put into me.
Oh.
And that's about all you got to say. You pack up and you start moving. He goes, what you did to me, if you just a little bit of that gets into him, we'll all be fine.
Oh, and I know that's great. Tell our listeners about your son. I think this is really an interesting story.
Well, he was running in Dahlonega, Georgia, he was running an art studio, and they had a church where they had big-time sound equipment, and he could run a 23-foot soundboard. And so what he would do is bring different acts in there to the church, and they'd sell tickets, try to make a little money, and they were charity givers. And the act of three came through, named the Avett Brothers. Nobody knew who they were. Nobody cared. And my son said, boy, they got a future. They're really good. Well, they asked him to get in the van and go with him. So he went to his mother and says, Mom, I can get in the van and travel with him. My mom said, don't you dare go. And he came over and asked his dad, and his dad said, "Don't you dare not get in that van and live a life of I wish I had. Don't wish I had nothing. Live your life." And he went, and they have been on the road now, 200 shows a year for 13 years. And for 5 years, they made $125 total for the show. There was five of them. So they each got $25. They got $25 a show. And lo and behold, they got on David Letterman. And I said, "This is it. They got to make it." Nothing happened. They got on Jay Leno, and I said, "This has got to be it." Nothing happened. And then an artist asked him to come open up for him, open up and do a show, but they'd only get to play 30 minutes. And we said, "Well, what does that pay?" And he goes, "Well, you're so good. That's $12,000 a show."
Wow.
And we screamed $12,000, and he said, "Yeah, you're right. You're better than that. I'll give you 15." He didn't know we were screaming that it was 12. And since then, they've gone on. Rolling Stone magazine 2 years ago picked the Avett Brothers as the number one touring band in the world. And you would like them because Justin and the Avett Brothers just did a new album, which is all gospel, with the Avett Brothers' dad, who is in his 70s, who is still traveling and is a gospel singer. And they'll close the show. They'll have, I just came from the Red Rocks, which is the greatest place to hear anybody play. The sound is perfect. And they'll come and close that show with gospel songs, and they'll ask all those little kids to come up and sit around that stage. Only in America can you go from $125 a show to being the number one touring band in the world.
Wow. That is something.
And they came here 2 years ago at the Tennessee Theater, paid their way, gave all the money to the two sisters that have give food. The Bob, who plays the stand-up bass, his daughter, has had all kinds of bouts with cancer. And over in Memphis, the hospital for the children over there. So if you buy an Avett Brothers ticket, $1 goes to the St. Jude's Hospital out of every single ticket around the world to help the kids in Memphis, Tennessee.
That's great.
That's a great band, and how about this? It's a band you can take kids to and not be afraid there's ever going to be a bad word. Nowadays, that's a band. That's hard to
find.
That's a band,
all right. Well, you know, and that just listening to that story just says, you know, there are things out that are happening that people are doing that we don't even know about. We have no idea what a blessing that is and what they're doing. And so I know you're very proud of him.
Well, at the concerts I've gone to, and we just got back from Colorado last month where they were doing that, fathers had their daughters and their sons sitting on their shoulders listening to the words, listening to everything they say. And people didn't know who I was when I was sleeping in Boulder, and I'd say to somebody in Boulder, I'd say, "Are you going to Avett Brothers concert? Can't get a ticket." And I'd say, why are they so popular? How come nobody can get in to see them?" And they said, "You don't know?" I said, "No." They said, "It's all about the message." Mm. They're good artists, and they can play and they can sing, but it's the words and the message. Great message band.
Oh.
And you listen to them, you wonder. One guy named Scott writes all the words, and another this brother named Seth writes all the music. And they do it all. And they did 104 different songs in 3 nights. They never repeated a song 3 nights at the Red Rocks.
That's what Larry, he's shaking his head over
I
here.
Know.
Because he talks about how he can't get over how these bands come out and know this music in the way they do, and then, but to think that they actually could just keep going like that, I mean, that's what a gift that they've got, that they can do that.
And their dad is, when he came out, the people that follow him knew who he was, and he walked out, they never introduced anybody, they never say, "Here we are," they just walk out. The place went wild, and he walked up there, and they walked up on each side of them, and they sang gospel songs. And here's today's youth, which is everybody at this concert but me and my wife, are 25 years or younger, sing every word of every song.
That's great.
Yeah,
yeah, that's one.
And sitting to my right was Jimmy Johnson, the 7-car NASCAR champion. And sitting to my left was Lance Armstrong, the bicycle Olympian. And here's two guys from two different worlds. And they looked at me and said, "What are you doing here?" I goes, "Well, my son's in the band."
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So you're known for your son being in the band, not who you are.
Absolutely.
I love that. Okay, tell me how long you've all been married.
Well, I think now we've been married like 42 years. I tell everybody that when they ask, and my wife was in here, she'd say, and almost half of them been happy. So if you're in football, like I was, your happiness depends on how many games you're winning.
Oh.
And it's a different type job. It's harder on the family than it is the coaches. If I came home, I'd come home in the middle of the night for dinner, and while I was eating dinner, she mopped the kitchen floor 7 times. I knew there was a terrible article in the paper, and I know she read it. And unfortunately, the wives will read and listen to that, and the coaches just go to work.
Yeah.
You have to be special to be a coach's wife. You really do. It's a tough life on the family, and she was great. You have to know how to fix things. You know, if the refrigerator breaks, my wife fixes it. I don't know what a refrigerator does. The wives have to handle everything, take care of your kids. And we had Justin and took him all over the country. We lived a lot of places. And he had his first birthday party. He was 1 year old in the Buffalo Bills training camp. So when he was one, he thought everybody has a birthday party with the Buffalo Bills. And that's how he grew up. He didn't know any better.
What's been your favorite job?
My next one. I've never had a bad one.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And I know the next one's going to be awesome. I tell everybody, I said, "Have you retired?" I said, "Right now I'm between opportunities. I got a couple opportunities, and I've always lived that way. My next job's going to be the best thing that ever happened to me." And I always told everybody, if you want to fire me, I can take a firing because of who I am and who's with me.
Yeah.
Nothing bothers me. My wife gets kind of mad. She goes, "What would upset you?" And I said, "I don't think anything can upset me." And the reason that is I don't walk alone.
I'm sorry, I got distracted.
They're signaling you?
Yes. She was signaling me, then my husband whispered something, because unfortunately I have one of my...
earphones is out. My earphones are working good. Could I just ask you to leave and I'll run this show? Welcome to my new show, Coast to Coast.
Rachel is clapping. She loves it. Okay, we got to take a break because I need it, and we'll be right back. This is the Friday Drive at 5 Let's Talk Recovery. Coach Jerry Glanville will be running the show when we get back here in just a minute. Welcome back to the Friday Drive at 5 Let's Talk Recovery. I'm Jenny, along with my guest this afternoon, Coach Jerry Glanville, and sitting side over here, my husband, Larry Bushkell, and he is here with us, but we are talking about Coach Jerry's really amazing life, and he's been the head coach for Houston Oilers and Atlanta Falcons. If you're just joining us, he's a NASCAR auto racer. He's been on national television as a commentator for 15 years. He has his own radio show. He has sung with country music artists like Willie Nelson and Bonnie Raitt. How do you get so talented all rolled up in one?
Well, the thing about my voice, it's amazing anybody would listen to it. And I got to be real close with Chris Christopherson. And we always tell anybody, wherever we're at, we're the two worst voices in the history of radio or TV. And look how good look at the money Chris has made making movies and singing songs and writing songs. And we both sound like, I tell my grandson, if you ever heard a frog, you either heard me or Chris Christopherson. We sound just like a frog would sound.
That's funny. Okay, I got somebody on the line here. John? John?
Yes.
Hi there.
Yes.
How are things going?
Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
It's going well. Hey, listen, I just want to let you know real quick here that we'll get back to Coach Glanville, but we are out at the Love All tennis facility here off of Maryville Pike, and with me right here real quick is Rocky Stevens. He's the head of this organization, and we are going to have some barbecue.
Oh, that sounds great.
We're looking forward to it. Thank you all for coming out and visiting with us.
It's our pleasure. Jenny, you like barbecue?
I like barbecue. I like Tennessee barbecue.
Does the coach like barbecue?
I lived in Texas 6.5 years, and it doesn't matter if you're eating with the president or whoever, you eat barbecue.
That's very good. Hey, well, give me the address here, and tell also, Rocky, what this fundraiser is all about.
Yeah, thank you once again for coming out here and having us have a chance to have a voice. Our Love All program is about tennis. We reach out to at-risk kids and provide tennis lessons at no charge, but we have a lot of folks coming from Pigeon Forge, Farragut, South Knoxville is where we're located. And so it's not just about tennis. We're teaching some good life lessons as well. We're all about the Love All message, and you can go on to our website, which is just loveallorg.com. So it's loveallorg.com. Learn a lot more about what we've done in the last 15 years, but we're so excited to have this facility that we're about to build, we're dreaming to build, and we have the land to build now that we've been looking for 12 years, and it's located at 3508 Maryville Pike in Knoxville, Tennessee, 37920. So that's out in South Knox County at the Knox County-Blount County line.
Okay. Thanks for visiting with us, Rocky. And we're going to be back in a little bit. Jenny, thanks so much for letting us have this time. And back to Coach Granda.
All right. Thank you. You know what? When they were talking, Coach, I was thinking about how that's kind of the same thing that you like to do is with kids. I kind of knew that you had helped with, you visit hospitals that you've done recently, or at some point you were with Mountain View Youth Development in Dandridge. And you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, wherever we go live, I always get connected with the youth in the area. And my wife, she now is with CARM. She always goes and volunteers with the homeless in the area. So we both have our little niche where we go. And my wife does such a great job. And it didn't matter where we would live. I'd come home after practice when I was coaching in Portland, Oregon. And she'd say, well, I got 34 sandwiches here, Jerry. Let's load it up and feed the people under the bridge. And she's always done that, and then I've always tried to make a little difference. And when I was in Texas, they built me a locker room, my own locker room, in MD Anderson for the children. And they'd be like we're in. In those days, if you tried to get a transplant, they'd put you in an incubation room and nobody could go in. You couldn't talk to them. And so many kids that I got to be with, and when they would say the child didn't have a chance, he wasn't going to make it, I would give them a Celtic cross. And now some of these kids that would never make it have children, and they write me. And We would ask, the medical field has given up, but God won't. Mm. And we would ask God to help. And so we saw a miracle all the time when we were in Houston. And I went to Atlanta. I moved over to the Shriners Hospital. I used to fly a helicopter. They had a helicopter for me, and I'd fly in on the roof every Thursday and see the kids on Thursday at the Shriners. And great hospital. They do great things. And keep the faith. Keep the faith, run a race, and never give up. And God intervenes. He's the doctor of all doctors, and he'll heal when everything else goes wrong. Mm.
How long have you really had a relationship with the Lord?
You know, it was funny. I joined the church here at Cedar Springs, and they said, when was that big moment? And I said, there wasn't. I just don't remember not being with him. I wish I could say when I caught on fire and knew I was dead. I caught on fire in Kentucky in a race car and knew. They couldn't put the fire out and couldn't get me out of the car. But I just said then, this is it. This is where I'm going. And I looked down at my feet. It turned to goo. And so I pulled my feet up in my seat. And the next thing you know, I don't know, I was crawling on the track. And they put me in a helicopter and called up my family. Said, you all better get there. He's not leaving. And 6 months later, the good Lord had me in Iraq with First Cavalry. First Cavalry, I was 19 years old, and I was with First Cavalry, young 19-year-olds, and we never spoke a word that we didn't talk about Jesus Christ. Mm. Every conversation, and that's why I think he pulled me out of the fire to send me to, of all places, I was in Baghdad, Fallujah. I was everywhere. And my poor wife, they weren't allowed to know where we were, what we were doing, and if we were still alive. And one day I came home, pounded on the door. I was back. And that was a life-changing experience. And nobody told me why I was going over there. Mm. And the children, and we belonged to a little church in Dawsonville, Georgia, and they made a throat lozenge, and they put a proverb or they put a message from the Bible with every piece of candy, and I'd hand them out, and they would unwrap it and read that and put that in their helmet or put that in their boot. And that's how I, greatest kids I ever met in my life were those 19-year-olds who are banded together to help bring each and everybody home.
Mm, that's a beautiful story.
I went across the Highway of Death. People don't remember the Highway of Death was a long desert drive, and when I went through there, there was not anything alive, and everything that was spotted was killed. The only thing you weren't allowed to shoot at was a camel. A camel there is thought of as something being real special. If you shot a camel, we'd start another war. So, and I went all the way across there riding in a Humvee. And the Highway of Death was an eye-opener of how man can, and things he can do to man. And I tell everybody, God is very unusual. He'll use a dysfunctional person. If you don't think you're worthy of God using you, you haven't watched him. He'll take somebody as dysfunctional as me. I'm acute ADD, and that's my pluses. The minuses go forever. And he will use you if you ask him to use you. I was introduced to, I was up in London, Kentucky, speaking to the school in London. And I told them, I'm in 4 Hall of Fames. What did I do? What did I do on myself that I should be in 4 Hall of Fames? What did I do by myself that I deserve that? And I shocked people. I did absolutely nothing. I've never accomplished anything worth talking about by myself. But if you walk with the power of Jesus, there's nothing you can't accomplish. Nothing can upset me. Nothing can stop me. I think Jesus taught me, and I taught everybody I coached, I reject the rejection. I refuse to believe we can't get done what we need to get done. Mm. And so I've been very fortunate. It's not over yet.
No, it's not.
Journey is right. My best thing I ever had, I tell everybody, if you're out of work, things aren't going good for you, put your head down, walk against the wind, and when you turn around the corner, God is there waiting to show you something better. And he's never failed not to show me something better.
Mm. We're going to take a break. This is the Friday Drive at 5. We'll be back and hear some more from Coach Jerry in just a minute. That's some good stuff. I'm Jenny, and I'm here with Coach Jerry Glanville, who has been the head coach for the Houston Oilers, Atlanta Falcons, NASCAR auto racer, national TV commentator, has his own radio show, sang with some of the best of them, and we are sitting here talking about his life and how Jesus has worked in it, and oh my gosh, you have had, it's the hang on, listen to this scripture, this is what it came to me while you were talking earlier. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask for or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Aren't you so grateful that your grandson is going to know Jesus?
Really, and you don't know when they're going to find him, and it's not on your time. It's kind of funny. John Wood taught me one time, quit asking your son to go find Jesus and ask Jesus to go find your son.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, what a great statement that was. And it's funny where you find him working. I went to Dandridge. I was with Lockdown Ministry, Lockdown on the Outside Ministries. And we would get a young man in the, they're from 13 to 18 years old, and they're in jail, they're incarcerated. Bottom line is they're behind a barbed wire fence. And you see great leadership the wrong way. You see these, you can, and I can be in that prison 3 times, and I know who leads these kids. So that I would then try to take his leadership What if you led them to Christ rather than lead them to a revolt against the guards? And that's what you try to get done. And I tell everybody, don't get in the rehab business unless you're man enough to take the relapse. When there's rehab, there's relapse. And once you get the relapse, we should talk about Tennessee football, because everybody asked me, they said, oh, you got to love Tennessee, you got to love Tennessee, you gotta, they got to win, they got to win. And I tell Tennessee football fans, I don't have to win games for Jesus to love me. And if you want to be a Tennessee fan, be like Jesus, be like God, and say, even when you're wrong, the love doesn't leave me. And so I use the Tennessee fan to tell them about there's a love without having to perform for that love.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about all the things you've done wrong, but the love of Jesus has never left. Well, that's how I feel about Tennessee. I'm not a Tennessee grad. I don't know anything about Tennessee. I go to their games. I'm going to love them where they win, and everybody says, how am I going to win it? It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to love them anyway.
Yeah, and you never know. I talk about this a lot when I have an opportunity to speak. You never know what message God has that you're going to give somebody that you don't even may not even realize that you're giving somebody a message. But so many times he uses us to bring the gospel to somebody even when we don't realize it, or confirm something to somebody that they're waiting to hear confirmation, and something you say, and it may be at a ball game. It may be sitting in a place that you had the least, would least expect for Jesus to show up through you. And I think that's what's so exciting about being on the adventure of following Jesus.
I was in Texas. They have a Baptist church there, Second Baptist Church, and they do a Christmas Eve service for all the kids that have an affliction. Whatever your affliction is, you have a Christmas Eve that you go to the same church, and they all come to that church for Christmas Eve service. And of all things, they asked me to give the message. I said, I think you got the wrong guy. No, I don't think so. He says, your message is different. You come in the back door. I don't come in prancing and stepping high. I come in the back door and say, lo and behold, look who's with us. I was in Dandridge, and the guy asked, the young man says, are you scared? Are you worried? The guard left. They locked us down. Are you worried? Are you scared? What would I be scared of? Well, you don't know the six of us or eight of us. I said, well, you don't know yet. I'm not alone. I've brought more power with me than in this entire prison. I have the power. And that's the message that I try to put out there. You cannot shake me or bother me or worry me unless you're an official. Larry said the officials I got mad at. Larry's too smart. He goes, I've seen you holler at those officials. That was good acting on my part.
I think that's funny, because we've all heard the NFL. If you know anything about Coach Jerry, you know about the NFL. What you said to that.
I don't even know where that came from. I said, not for, you keep making calls like that, it stands for not for long, and I'll be sacking groceries. He got me fired.
This is what's so fun. We hear all these things about you, and I'm so glad that you came in here this afternoon to really, so people can really get to know really who you are as a person, because we see this bigger than life coach and all the wonderful things that you've been had opportunity to do and to enjoy, and you're a husband, you're a father, you're a grandfather, and you're a follower of Jesus. And you know, that's really success right there in a nutshell, to be married 40 something years to and be following Jesus, and you know, and your grandson, even though he has to find Jesus himself, is going to be exposed to Jesus. He's going to know about Jesus because of you.
Well, when he comes to our house to eat, we all do the prayer before we do the food, and he calls my wife Mimi, and Mimi, we'll do the prayer, and probably the last 6 months we say, Mimi, you left out Apple. Well, Apple's his dog. And by the way, I said, why did you name your dog Apple? And he goes, because I love applesauce. Well, Mimi did the prayer and went through the family and everybody, and he goes, "You better, Mimi, you left out Apple." So he's listening, and it's kind of fun to watch him grow, and you forget all the things you did with your son, and then all of a sudden, here you're doing it again. But he's a gift from God.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When my wife has the clothes at each age that my son wore. Mm. Well, she takes that navy suit that my son wore, we have a picture of him, and puts it on his son. Only God can clone like that. And you look at the two of them when they're 2 years old, and you can't tell me which one's which. Only God can do that. Man is this cell phone. I tell everybody, they say, "Well, what do you think about the cell phone?" I says, "I walk down Cherokee Boulevard, and I'm connected with my cell phone. But only God, when I walk under the magnolia tree, can disconnect me from man's technology and make me look up and say, 'You have taken over, God. I am listening.'" Mm. And so when you go for a walk, shut your cell phone off and talk to the head coach. And my head coach can take this cell phone and shut it off with a magnolia tree. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's awesome. That
he is still in charge.
Did you go out and look at the eclipse with your little glasses on? Or?
I did. Yeah. I did, and I've had some eye problems, as your husband knows. I've had some bad eye problems from fires and et cetera. I've been in fires. And I said, "Well, I don't know if I'll look," but I just couldn't help myself. I looked anyway. We got dark, and the crickets started making all noise like it was nighttime. But I live on Cherokee Boulevard, so all the lights came on. I didn't get, shut those lights off. I thought maybe they were on a timer, but they evidently were on the light, how much light was coming. So the lights came on during our eclipse. I watched a video yesterday of a place in Georgia, a gap something in Georgia, which had told. And they were darker longer than we were here. If you watch people that total eclipse, I don't know where we were in 90-something, but we weren't dark as long as some of these other places. But I wondered when Jesus was crucified, did God say, "I'm going to make an eclipse here as you crucify him"? Because you remember, it got so dark, it got so windy. And I think he said at the crucifixion, "I'll end this with this eclipse." And I thought about that as I watched that eclipse.
Yeah. That must have been exactly that when I was talking about it on Sunday to the kids. I said, are y'all ready for the eclipse? And one of them raised her hand and said, "We've already had one before." And I said, "Yes." And she said, "When Jesus died." I said, "Yes."
And, you know, I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I thought those Roman soldiers trembled and ran with the eclipse. And little did we know, he was setting into motion. The greatest thing that ever happened to us was the resurrection. And the eclipse was prior to that. And then if we didn't have the resurrection, you wonder where we are.
Yeah.
You wonder what we're doing. You wonder what's important to us. And the resurrection will bring the guy that's making $1 billion a year to his knees. Money doesn't matter, collecting things and stuff. When my wife and I moved here from Atlanta, we had an estate sale. We sold everything in our house, and everybody was shocked. Halloran Hill did a show on this TV, but we sold everything. And we just said, we're just starting a new life. Stuff doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And my wife's a grace, so all of her china or silver, all that didn't. And we came here, and my son says, "You know what I'd like, Mom? I'd like you to cook Thanksgiving dinner." Nobody does anything. So my wife cooked a turkey. I didn't have a knife to carve the turkey. We didn't even bring one.
I love that because, we do get bogged down with
stuff. Yeah. I hate stuff.
Hey, John, you there?
I am here, yes.
How's things going down there?
Going well. I just want to remind everybody that the barbecue event that funds Love All, the tennis ministry that helps at-risk kids, will be going on until 9 o'clock tonight. It's located at 3508 Maryville Pike, and that's in a little strip mall next to Dr. Faust Dentistry and Cozy Kids, ABC Cozy Kids. And they've even got a cornhole out here to play. It's going to be a lot of fun, and of course it benefits a great ministry, and we'd like everybody to consider making your Friday night plans right here. Thanks so much for letting me in, Jenny.
Okay, well, you have a great evening and a great weekend. We're glad that
you as well.
You're getting to do that. And I know that the ministries are close to your heart, working with children too, Jerry.
Well, we've been fortunate that we've been able to donate our time and been in good enough position that sometimes you realize when you have a job like I had, your position can help other kids.
Yeah.
And so you use your position to help the kids.
Well, we're glad you're doing that. Okay, we got to take a break this Friday afternoon. We're going to take you home this last segment in just a few minutes from the Vaughn Pharmacy Studios. You'll hear more from Coach Jerry Glanville. We're back. This is the Friday Drive at 5. Let's Talk Recovery. I'm Jenny, and we really should be Facebook Live because with that music, and we're in here dancing and prancing, and y'all don't get to see that. But we are having a good time this afternoon with Coach Jerry Glanville, and we are hearing the story of more about the person and not the bigger-than-life person that we've seen on television and heard on national television as a commentator for years. Sunday mornings, you were busy on the, but hold on, hold your thought. Hold on, we got a caller. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, Coach, out there, Bob Bell?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Coach Glanville, welcome to WRJZ. We appreciate you coming in today, man. That's fantastic.
Well, this studio is awesome. We have people running up and down the tables, dancing and doing cartwheels. It's not like I thought it was going to be. It's rather exciting. I guess they're going to bring in the barbecue any minute. Now we're going to start eating.
Hey, listen, you know, we got the Lord on our side. It's all right. We can be happy.
Absolutely.
We got barbecue going. We got people smiling, laughing, having a big time. Listen, I want to appreciate you and say how much I appreciate how your authenticity comes through. And you just are who you are. I've admired you for a long time. But to hear your faith walk today with Jenny and you knowing Jenny and Larry Bushkell, it's just a great thing. And man, we're glad to have you in the Knoxville area. You're a great addition to our family here at Knoxville, and God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep teaching and pass along that legacy to the next generation, and
well,
God bless you.
You've got me overrated. I really do. It's kind of embarrassing when people overrate me, but I do leave everybody, and I'll leave this show. There's one message I want to give you, and that's trust God. And there's nothing else. You don't need one other thing. One other thing doesn't matter. When you've got a problem and this isn't going good and this is right, just trust God. God loves you.
Simplicity is the essence.
And the love never stops. Unlike these poor Tennessee Vols, they only get love when they win. I want to get the town to love the Vols, win or lose.
Amen.
Hey, Bob.
Amen.
Listen,
yeah.
Good luck tonight. You're going to be at a ball game tonight.
We're going to be at King's Academy on 92.3 FM with Grace Christian Academy and the King's Academy squaring off against each other.
They got an outside linebacker now that I had on my TV show, and he can play.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a beautiful night for football, and it's going to be a beautiful night to head on out there and see John Adams over on Mirable Pike as he helps the Love All benefit. This is their fundraiser. You can help them in a great way on Mirable Pike, the Love All Benefit, barbecue, lots of fun, food, family events.
Now, who did you say Kingston Academy is playing?
King's Academy is playing Grace Christian Academy.
I was at Grace last week. I went to Grace and talked to the entire football team and the coaching staff just last week. Great, great players, great kids, and unbelievable. Now, there's a coach that believes in Jesus Christ right there.
Yeah, Rusty Bradley's a great one, isn't he? I got to speak to Grace yesterday, as a matter of fact, so I had to follow in your footsteps.
Well,
they liked you a whole lot better.
No, following me, I made your job easy. Once I talk, the next guy gets a standing ovation because I'm gone.
Hey, well, Bob, Jerry, listen. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Jerry Glanville, you're a treasure.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Bob. Have a good weekend. Jerry, before
we go. You too, Jenny. God bless you. You did great.
Thank you. Before we go, we got to ask you about Elvis.
I brought him with me. He's in the car. It's so hot. I hope we can put those windows down out there. He's with me right now. And I got so shook up. It wasn't about 2 weeks ago they were celebrating his death, and I still don't think he died. I think he's still with us. He's got a real good doctor here in Knoxville. His name is Larry, and Larry's keeping him going.
Well, I'm glad he is, and I'm glad he was keeping you going, because I'm telling you, this is that a true story? Do you really leave tickets to Elvis every time?
Not every time, but I got to tell you, people ask me, what do I like about Elvis? I want you, when you get at home, to listen to the song written by Mac Davis. Nobody else ever tried to sing it. And it's about how you help kids, and the name of the song is Born in the Ghetto. And yeah. Born in the Ghetto is how, if my phone was to ring, I have it shut off. It plays Born in the Ghetto. And Born in the Ghetto, written by Mac Davis, about helping the youth in the inner city. And that's what I remember about Elvis Presley. Everybody thinks I have blue suede shoes or just listen to that song and let me know what you think of the words.
I know that song. I love it. Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to see. Rachel, are you trying to tell us something? We got to go. Well, I hate this. It has been such a great afternoon with you.
Well, if your show's not canceled, you're the first radio show I've done that was not canceled.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, thank you for coming,
Thanks
Coach.
For
and thank you all for tuning in
Trust
this afternoon.
God. Trust God. God.
And thank you for tuning in this afternoon. And we hope you have a safe weekend. And we'll see you back here bright and early for the Bob Bell Show Monday morning.